This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismier.
The West is killing itself, but also laying the foundation for much broader problems related to the second coming of Jesus Christ and the events that will transpire leading to the massive persecution of Christians and also Jews. Today on Viewpoint, we're going to blend together a series of different kinds of articles, information coming from around the world, some related to persecution, others related to the Bible itself, others related to anti-Semitism, and in reality, what we're looking at is something that is rather profound that is taking place in our world. In fact, we'll even provide a list of the countries in which it's most difficult to access the Bible, to receive the Bible, but we're also going to see how millions more are receiving the scriptures in their own language as Bible translation work is accelerating. In fact, maybe that's where we should start. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. And indeed, Wycliffe Bible Translators has been working on this for a very, very long period of time. I remember when my wife and I were coming back from Disney World about 15 to 18 years ago, we stopped by the Wycliffe Translators offices and were told at that time that they thought it would be about 25 years before they would be able to get the Bible in the hands of every single small language unit in the world. Well, that was maybe 15, 20 years ago, and here we are in 2025, and there, because of computer advances and so on, all of that has been accelerated. Now, in 2021, the figure stood at 1,892 languages that were identified as suitable for translation. Just 12 months later, there were only 985. Now the number has fallen dramatically to 550. In other words, only 550 tiny little languages around the world that have yet to be identified and then also provided with the scriptures. That is very, very rapid movement, friends. And it tells us that we're very near the completion of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 concerning the end of the age. He said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world, and then shall the end come. Now, that's the motto. That's the motto for CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, and it's emblazoned on the front in bold relief on the front of their office building, their main building of their headquarters. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world, and then shall the end come. So how soon is the end? Well, how rapidly is this moving? How rapidly is this moving? Since 2021, the figure stood at 1,892 such languages that needed to be confronted. Now, 12 months earlier, it was 985 languages. Now it's only 550. So, things are moving very, very rapidly, getting the Bible in the hands and in the languages of every man, woman, and child on the planet. Now, that's a Herculean task, and it's something that we should be grateful for, because God desires that none should perish and that all should come to repentance. God is a God of due process, and he is not going to hold responsible and bring to judgment those who have not been informed, those who have not been told of the gospel message. Therefore, missionaries around the world for years and years and years, decades, even millennia, have been spreading the gospel, started with the 12 disciples and then spread from there to the Apostle Paul. And then from there, various missionary organizations around the world, starting in England and then in America and spreading all over the world. But the Bible had to be available in the various languages in order to communicate. So God, in his mercy and in his infinite grace, in a favor and enabling power, is making that possible. And it appears that that can be concluded perhaps by the year 2030. Do you know when the year 2030 is? That's 4.5 years from now. I want you to consider the implications of this. That would be exactly 2,000 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, if we look to the prophet Hosea, he says that after 2 days, I will raise them up, and the third day, they shall live in my sight. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about 2 days, that's 1,000 years each, that's 2,000 years, and then the third day, following the coming of the Lord, not just in spirit, in truth, but in reality, the third day, which, by the way, is remembered by the Jewish people in the seventh feast of the Lord, the Moedim, the appointed time called the Feast of Tabernacles, which takes place just, I believe it's tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, the Feast of Tabernacles, 5 days after Yom Kippur, 15 days after the blowing of trumpets, the warning that God gives out, and then comes the most joyous feast of the Lord, the Feast of Tabernacles, sometimes referred to as booths, because God commanded the people to build booths once a year and to inhabit those booths as a remembrance that they had come out of Egypt, passed through the wilderness, and that this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Do you feel at home here? Well, I guess it depends on what you mean at home. Increasingly, I have to tell you, my wife and I have talked about we don't feel that much at home anymore. The world that we grew up in, the world that we have lived in, even the United States of America, is just not the same place anymore. Not even close. Dramatic things have taken place. We used to be a nation of faith and family. Faith and family. Today, we're a nation of neither faith nor family. Something dramatically has taken place. And it's taken place throughout the Western world. And we're going to see how that has taken place. We're going to talk about the implications of it and see how all of these things tend to track directly to fulfillment of biblical prophecy and the coming of our Lord. Are you ready? Don't answer too quickly, because the message of the Bible from the beginning to the end is get ready. People, get ready. Jesus is coming soon. He'll be coming home. Stay tuned, my friends. This is Viewpoint.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismire, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Well, we open the program here today talking about how Bible translation in the various languages of the world is accelerating dramatically, just dramatically. How dramatically is that? Well, in the past year alone, 118 new Bible and New Testament translations have been released. That's an average of one every 3 days. An average of one every 3 days. So, If you were to divide 3 into 4.5 years, multiplied by 365 days, how many new Bible translations would you expect to be completed by 2030? Pretty much everything that remains. Everything that remains. Does that not tell you something about the expectation of the coming of the Lord? It should. And we seldom even talk about that. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world, and then shall the end come. But at the same time, there are nations where it's hardest to even get access to the Bible where the Bible is available in their language. Nations such as Somalia, as having the worst access to the Bible. The worst access to the Bible. Muslim extreme access restrictions. Afghanistan, Yemen, North Korea, Mauritania, Eritrea. These are the countries that are hardest of all to get the Bible in. Now, interestingly, Armenia, this is fascinating. Armenia, which was the first nation to adopt Christianity as a state religion in the 4th century, is ranked 87th on the list of those most difficult to get the Bible. With 95% of the population identifying as Christians, there are no restrictions on owning or distributing Bibles in Armenia. However, a quiet crisis of Bible scarcity has risen through economic hardship, shrinking church infrastructure, and outdated of limited distribution of networks. So, even the country where Christianity is culturally dominant, the actual ability to read and engage with God's word remains limited for most people. Interesting. Interesting. So, that gives us a little bit of an idea as to where we stand in terms of the availability of the Word of Life, the Bible. The Bible, God's inspired Word, to prepare us, first of all, to receive salvation by grace through faith that works through love. Salvation by grace through faith that works by love. That's what the gospel is all about. So when that is made available, then the people have access and God's due process to give adequate warning and wooing and opportunity has been fulfilled because God is a God of justice and due process. Perhaps you didn't know that, but due process in our laws came directly from the Bible. God, a God of due process, therefore those who call themselves created in his image should be people of due process in their legal system. So that having been said, we glorify God, we thank the Lord for that progress that has been made, and in turn, I guess, would pray for those countries where it's become very difficult to get the Bible even when it's available. So we go forward from there, and we talk about what's happening to Christians then around the world. Now, Iranian Christians are fleeing persecution that they face. So it's an uncertain future, though, because as they flee and request asylum in other nations like Georgia, we're not talking about the state of Georgia here. We're talking about the country of Georgia. They're being rejected. Their asylum claims are being rejected. When they try to speak about their beliefs, they were not permitted. That's a serious problem because many are fleeing Iran. Iran imprisons Christians in their worst prison, the Evin prison, and even crucifies them, hangs them. In Mozambique, they're in Africa, beheading, shooting Christians, burning churches. Over 30 people beheaded recently. Now, we don't know how to relate to this yet in America. On the other hand, we have at least two people in the United States of America who, over the last week or so, have called for the resurrection and reimplementation of the guillotine. The very implementation of death and beheading that was used in the French Revolution to get rid of Christian leaders and anyone who stood for authority and protection of the culture. How serious was the rebellion against that? So serious that they refused to allow anything related to the Bible, directly or indirectly, to be included in their government or practices. So they changed the days of the week from 7 to 10. They changed the months of the year from 12 to 10. Everything had to be about 10. The number of man. You see, it was all about man. Not about God, about man. And then they changed the entire measurement system to the decimal system based upon 10. Anything or anybody that attempted to resurrect anything related to a Christian foundation or a biblical foundation was game for the guillotine. Got to purge this nation of that. Now, so bad is the problem with France that this weekend, the prime minister, the new prime minister that was appointed because of the past prime minister was removed, the new prime minister resigned. They can't get a stable government in France. It's horrible. And their previous president, Sarkozy, was just committed to prison. It's a very, very sad state of affairs in France. It's not liberty, equality, and fraternity in France. That was only a theory. And it never happened. Because they kicked God out. They kicked God out of their culture. Purposely, defiantly, to the point where Robespierre, the attorney that was at the head of the revolution, was proclaimed Messiah, and then within a day or two later, the same guillotine that claimed the heads of those who were in authority otherwise then claimed his head. Nobody is safe. So the West began killing itself. The West began killing itself in the French Revolution. And we're experiencing a resurrection of the French Revolution. We really are. It's happening in Europe, all over Europe. It's happening here in the United States. It's not a pretty picture. A Catholic priest who wrote an article pointing out how Islamists regularly attack and persecute Christians around the world has been found guilty in a Spanish court of a so-called hate crime. I thought Spain was Christian. Isn't that where all of the Catholic folk came from to colonize the United States for Christianity? Isn't that where they went to California? Father Sarah and all of those folk. But apparently Spain is not a friend to grace. Father Custodio Ballester, a parish priest in Barcelona, had written an article in 2016, 9 years ago, describing, quote, the impossible dialogue with Islam, unquote, that he explained how Islam actually does not allow dialogue. He said, for Islam, either you believe or you're an infidel who must be subdued one way or another. And he was absolutely right. Now he was found guilty of Islamophobic statements and was sent to prison. 4 years. Because he had the temerity to state what Islam believes and teaches in the Quran and the Hadiths. This is pretty amazing, isn't it? Spain. Mr. Ballester wrote an essay in response to a pastoral letter that came from his superior, an Archbishop of Barcelona, titled The Necessary Dialogue with Islam. In his rebuttal, Ballester wrote, "This new reactivation of Christian-Muslim dialogue can't work. It's very far become reality. Islam does not allow dialogue. For Islam, either you believe or you're an infidel, and you must be subdued one way or another. So the authorities demanded to use him, that language, as an example so that others censor themselves. In other words, people would be scared to death to say anything true about Islam as related to the Christian faith." Does that not sound like persecution to you? It is. It's notorious persecution coming under the authority of a country that claimed to be have a Christian history to at least be evangelized in the name of the Catholic faith. Not anymore. Oh. And wait till you find out how a service member was dismissed from the military under the current administration, Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth, for a religious exemption claim to shots. You have it right. It's true. And I have a theory. I want to propose it to you after this upcoming break. This is not just about flu shots, my friends. It might have implications far beyond that. And then we'll talk about how the West is actually killing itself. We're already giving allusion to that. And now we're going to see it in glaring color. I want to urge you to get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. That's my latest book. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. It's not a terrifying kind of a book. It's actually an exhorting kind of a book to encourage, to strengthen, to point out the realities, yes, but for the purpose of encouraging, strengthening, equipping, helping us to understand the depths of what is taking place or is about to take place so that we will be prepared and be able to stand in the evil day and having done all to stand, stand. Okay? So, the book is a $25 book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. It's on our website, saveus.org. It's yours for $22 on the website, saveus.org. Give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check, add $6 for postage and handling. What a great book to be used in small groups. Every chapter is followed by some very important questions that help lead a conversation, and you won't have any problem with conversation. What a great thing for fathers to lead their children, to prepare their children to be able to stand when difficult times come. Don't you think that the prophet Daniel, who was a young man when he was taken captive to Babylon, and his three friends, don't you think they had to be prepared at an early age to be able to stand against persecution? You bet they did. And that's why they were able to stand. Are your kids able to stand? Are your grandkids able to stand? Think about that. We have a responsibility. and will be judged accordingly. When persecution comes, prepare hearts for perilous times. Right there on the website, saveus.org.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
We've talked already about how persecution is driving violence all over the world. And there in Mozambique, 30 people beheaded. They made a public display of it, put it on video to show the grossness of it all. Shootings, widespread arson. They set fire to churches and homes in a campaign of violence against civilians. And now the United Nations consider this extremely important. Mozambique insurgency has been active since 2017, has led to the deaths of at least 6,200 people in Mozambique alone. The UN estimates that more than a million people in northern Mozambique have been displaced since the conflict began, and it's driven by Muslims primarily. In addition to that, a report came from the Jerusalem Post today. Anti-Semitism worsens worldwide. It's intensifying. Now, we've talked about this before, and in one sense, you kind of know this in a general kind of way. You say, yeah, I know that. But it needs to be reinforced because we don't get it. We know it, but we don't get it. We don't understand that as it is with the Jewish people today, the Christians come next. Even the Jewish people know that, have declared it right on this program. A conservative, Orthodox Jewish woman who is a premier broadcaster from Jerusalem declared that very thing. First, it's the Saturday people, she said, and next, it's you Sunday people. Well, presuming that all Gentile believers worship on Sunday, which isn't necessarily true because I don't. That doesn't mean I'm not willing to go to a church on Sunday. That doesn't mean I don't love the Lord on Sunday. Doesn't mean I'm not willing to speak in a church on Sunday. It has nothing to do with that, because there's only one Sabbath, though. Only one Sabbath, and that's the seventh day of the week that God ordained and set aside for himself. And he said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. He didn't say, remember the first day of the week. He said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Even Charlie Kirk made that message very clear. He came to the absolute conviction and conclusion, there's only one Sabbath, and that's the day my wife and I are going to observe. Just mentioning it for whatever it's worth. Now, anti-Semitism worsening 2 years after the deadly October 7th, 2023 Hamas attack in Israel, anti-Semitism has surged into a global crisis, according to a new report, and the report warns that hatred of Jews has not only persisted but intensified, spreading across borders and into mainstream society. And you don't find anybody responding to this as you find Spain responding to a pastor who had the temerity to tell the truth about Islam and what they believe. The Hamas massacre was not only an attack on Israel, it was a turning point for Jews everywhere. What followed was the largest surge in anti-Semitism in modern history, and that surge has not slowed. It's deepened, spread, and been excused. This is what we should have expected if we read the scriptures and understood the nature of the times immediately preceding the second coming of Jesus Christ. The United States has seen a particularly sharp rise, with anti-Semitic acts on university campus almost tripling. The trend has continued into 2025 now, with over 5,100 incidents already reported by early October and projections nearly 6,800 by the year's end. There's no longer a Jewish problem. It's a moral test for humanity. When Jews are targeted with impunity, every democratic value is endangered and science is complicity. Every person has to decide. You turn away or take a stand. The fight against anti-Semitism is the fight for truth, freedom, and human dignity. The same will be true for persecution against Christians. But if you fail to stand for the Jews in anti-Semitism, they're coming for you next. Who will stand for you? The report warned that since October 7th attack, global anti-Semitism has reached levels unseen in decades and is eroding the diaspora of Jewry's resistance or resilience. It's affecting the whole world. It's affecting the world, the whole world. Jews are now going into hiding in so many different areas. They're not willing, they're wearing their kippahs. They're not willing to identify because they know it spells trouble. So let me ask you a question. Are you willing to identify as a Christian like Charlie Kirk did in environments that are very, very antagonistic? Maybe not. Why not? When the scripture says, if you will not identify with me, then I'm not going to identify with you, says the Lord. If you will not confess me before men, neither will I confess you before my Father which is in heaven, said Jesus. You see, these things have not been completely taught in a way that people are gripped with because it's kind of just brushed over. Can't brush it over anymore. If we brush it over, you will not be ready. You'll be like the five foolish virgins who knew the bridegroom was coming. They knew the wedding was coming, but they didn't prepare. They waited until the last minute, and then all of a sudden realized they had no oil in their lamps. They were totally unprepared, so they went rushing out to try to get something, try to borrow it from others that had been prepared. And by the time they did that, the door to the wedding was shut. And they couldn't get in. It was too late. You don't want that to happen to you. You don't want that to happen to your children or your grandchildren. Because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day we should prepare. Today is the day we should get our act in order. The Holy Spirit's been quickening me personally. You see, we want to hold short accounts with God. We want to make sure that there's nothing between us and the Savior, as the song used to say. Nothing between. That was the title of the song, I believe, Nothing Between. You don't want anything to be between you and the Lord. We want to have clean hands and pure heart. Who shall ascend to the heights of the Lord, the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who doesn't give himself up to vanity or swear deceitfully. So, we have listening ears. We not only read the word, but we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, who speaks through the word and through messages such as this, discussions such as this, that enable us to apply the word in ways that connect. It's not just a theory. It's not just information. It's not just religious information, not just Christian information. No, there is no place for pride with more Christian information. You can memorize the whole Bible from cover to cover and the cover too and still not walk with the Lord and please him. Did you know that? Oh, you'll be very prideful for what you've done, but pride is one of the worst sins. keeping you out of the kingdom. That's what got Satan in trouble, pride and envy. Pride created envy, and envy caused him to say, I will ascend to the heights of the north. I will be like the Most High God. And that began all of the trouble that you and I have experienced going back to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. So, get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. A $25 book, yours for $22. Friends, this is a book that will prevail on your soul, your spirit. It will help you to gain a fuller and complete understanding of what persecution really looks like, how it comes in on little cat feet, so to speak, until it overtakes you, how it comes in the Western world, in America. It comes in from many, many different angles. And we're going to see that when we get back from this upcoming break. With the headline, Even Under Trump, Religious Objection to Flu Shots Results in Service Members' Dismissal from the Military. That's just this last week. October 3rd. What's going on here? Why would this be important? We're going to discuss why it's important. And it's not just about COVID. COVID's gone. Now we're dealing with the same issues for more issues, more things. And where does it end? Where is it going to end? I have some thoughts concerning this that may surprise you. Get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. That's a positive thing, preparing our hearts for perilous times. Look, $25, that's the book, $22 for you. On the website, saveus.org, call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check, add $6 for postage and handling. We'll get it out to you. You read it slowly, absorb it, no pressure. I think you're going to be very, very happy that you did that. All right, now, some members of the U.S. military, even under President Donald Trump and War Secretary Pete Hegseth, are being ejected from the service for filing religious exemptions from taking vaccines. It happened to Technical Sergeant William Tony Oslin, who feared that his Christian religious beliefs might jeopardize his military career. And indeed they did. Wow. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Unfortunately, reality has come to pass. The military guy Oslin, whose last day in uniform after a two-year battle over the flu vaccine was last Friday, October 3rd. He was kicked out. As Oswin explained, he submitted a religious accommodation request in September of 2022 for the COVID-19 influenza, typhoid, anthrax, and tetanus vaccines, maintaining his objections to each based on his sincerely held religious belief that his body is a temple of the Lord and needed not to be subjected to vaccines, many of which are tested and or developed with the use of aborted fetal cells. Then, once the military's COVID-19 mandate was rescinded in January 2023, Oswin was clear of being forced to take that particular shot. So then they came after him for the influenza shot. That had to be adjudicated separately. The chaplain expressed that he said, "I do have a sincerely held religious belief, which according to Air Force policy and federal and state law is all you need for an accommodation to be granted." Yet 2 years later, Oswin has been denied accommodation and forced out of the military, which he loves. He noted that the government claims they have a compelling government interest in vaccinating all service members or it will hinder the mission. Even though they grant medical exemptions all the time, and somehow these personnel are not a hindrance to the mission. But if a person like me claims a religious exemption, then that automatically becomes a hindrance to the mission, he said. This doesn't make sense. This is just religious discrimination, and it's unconstitutional. There's no other way to explain it. Well, I want to tell you where this is going to go, if you haven't already figured it out. If they can compel you, in the name of the mission, to take a shot, regardless of your religious exemption, why can't they compel you to take the mark of the beast? Which they will, because that also will be deemed essential to the mission, because you've got to show your allegiance to what we're doing for this great one world government. Are you listening? This isn't just about a shot, but it might be about a shot to kill you as well. Intentionally. You say, "You got to be kidding me." No, I am not kidding you. So let's talk about how the West is killing itself. Laura Hollis penned a wonderful piece that appeared on WorldNet Daily today called "How the West is Killing Itself." And very quickly, I'm going to have to go through this with you. England and Wales are preparing to legalize assisted suicide. The bill has plenty of detractors, including the former Conservative Prime Minister Theresa May, who referred to it as the License to Kill Bill. Don't forget those words. The License to Kill Bill. The trajectory is predictable. The bill, keep the word trajectory in mind, because that's how things get done this way. This is how they end up in ways you never, ever, ever expected. Like what happened with the sergeant, Oswin, who was relieved from his duties in the military. He never expected that. How could this possibly happen in the United States of America, especially under Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth, who claims to be a Christian? The trajectory is predictable. The bill's proponents will win with the typical initial argument that assisted suicide or euthanasia will be limited to terminally ill adults with less than 6 months to live. Even that limitation glosses over what most physicians were going to tell you, that it is nearly impossible to predict with any certainty how long someone will live. But it never stops there. Soon the argument becomes, what about adults suffering from mental illness? You know, according to the liberal folk out there, according to the many in the Democrat Party, the fact that you claim to be a believer in Jesus Christ is a mental illness. Don't question what I'm telling you. That's what they believe. And you don't deserve to live. In fact, just this day, across the news media, is the discovery and chat concerning a candidate for the Attorney General in Virginia, who a couple of years ago, he's a candidate, by the way, for the Democrat Party for the Attorney General. His name is Jay Jones. And a couple of years ago, he came out against a Republican and a group of Republicans who were actually saying nice things about a 90-some-year-old Democrat who had passed away. He was infuriated by it. And he called, he said, I am thinking and dreaming about killing these Republicans. Why? For the nice things. He couldn't handle the fact that they said something nice about a Democrat, unlike the way Democrats think. So he called for their killing. He said, I would put two bullets between into their head. And he went on and on and on. And then when that's been brought to the light today, the Democrat Party is reinforcing what he said and refusing to apologize. That's their heart and their attitude toward that which is good and righteous. It always has been. Even going back to the time of the Civil War, Senator Charles Sumner, a Republican, stood in the United States Senate and said, better an empty treasury than a single slave. I have his handwritten quote on my gallery wall here at these offices. I do. The original. And for that statement, he was beaten almost to death by a Democrat in the Senate itself. That's the kind of spirit we're talking about, friends. Where things start, they don't end up. They morph into arguments that people who have no diagnosed mental illness should have access to assisted death if they're unhappy and don't want to live anymore. Then the push comes to make euthanasia available to people under the age of 18 who are terminally ill. Young people who are depressed or dealing with other mental or emotional illness. One Dutch patient suffering from obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, ended her life under color of law because a back injury left her unable to clean her house as much as she wanted. That's supposed to be a cause for death? An even greater concern is that a growing number of these deaths are in people under 30. The Netherlands now permits children as young as 12 to request euthanasia. Belgium's laws permitting euthanasia and assisted suicide are the most permissive in Europe, having eliminated all age limits in 2014. Canada's parliament passed its medical assistance in dying law in 2016 to provide euthanasia, suicide to anyone suffering with a terminal illness or chronic, even if it is not terminal. More than 60,000 deaths in just the past 9 years as a result of that. Both England and Canada boast about their universal health care, but you can't get the care because you have years-long waits. So what does it do? It impacts cancer diagnosis and the access to life-saving treatment. So guess what? That creates a situation where they're on the verge of death or heading for terminal illness. So the government says, okay, they're terminally ill, therefore away with their life. Disabled Canadian veteran and Paralympian Christine Gauthier had been fighting for 5 years to get a wheelchair ramp installed at her home and was told by the Department of Veteran Affairs in Canada that they could send her the equipment for medical assistance in dying instead. That's the attitude, friends. It's just an embrace of death that threatens the West. There's also abortion and the declining birth rate. None of the Western European countries has a birth rate at the population replacement level for two children per family. And in the United States, we barely meet it. Abortions were declining in the U.S. until 2017, have been steadily increasing now. More than a million abortions performed in 2023 for the first time since 2012. And now American society has a new obsession, chemically castrating and surgically mutilating the bodies of otherwise physically healthy young people. This is madness, said the writer. Western civilization is destroying its fertility and its future, and the results are predictably catastrophic. Why? Because Christianity views the value of each God-given human life as inherent, immutable, and immeasurable, not dependent upon the whims or wishes of any particular individual. Should it surprise us, therefore, that as Christianity is gradually eroded as a cultural foundation, in the entire Western world, humans become disposable rather than indispensable? If Christianity is cast aside and will take Western civilization with it, the West is killing itself. I agree wholeheartedly, and guess what? It doesn't end there. Because the same countries are rebelling. They're not just not embracing the Christian faith, they're rebelling against it. And they are also the ones that are in support of a new one-world global order to save ourselves. They're not relying upon God, they're relying upon a new global world order to save ourselves. And guess what? In the words of New Age religiosity, those people, true followers of Jesus Christ, that do not believe in that global government and that global religion that is soon coming out, must be removed from society. That's what they say. It's in my book, Messiah. You might want to get a copy of the book, Messiah. It helps you to understand the competing thoughts out there, oh, that are fighting against your soul and will. The term that they use is you must be selected out. That's a euphemism for killed by whatever means necessary because you are preventing world peace. That, my friends, is what will usher in the ultimate persecution of true followers of Jesus Christ. Are you ready? I dare say the majority are not. Life is too easy. Life is too simple. No matter what the problems that we face, and my wife and I are facing huge ones right now that are challenging our trust, about every 5 to 7 years, we find God presenting us with a trust issue like this, and we're facing it. It's challenging. Do we trust God or not? So, persecution will cause you to be faced with that issue. And if you aren't prepared, you see, the coach says to those of the team, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But we're not preparing God's people to be tough. We're not preparing them to be tough-minded and tender-hearted. No, it's all about my feelings. Well, friends, persecution will hurt your feelings. And if that's where your life is rested, you're in deep trouble. Get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. You will not regret it. $22 will put the $25 book in your hands on the website saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $6 for postage and handling. And seriously consider becoming a partner, friends. We are, every day, preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour, using every imaginable way to get the message across so that we don't miss it. I hope you see it that way and respond accordingly. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.